Good morning. Well, I will just go ahead and tell you that I had a few people. I said this first service too. I had a few people that when they heard what I was talking about, freedom for the journey, they said, "Well, are you going to wear your kilt?" And I said, "No." I was not going to punish you that way. As fun as it may have been, I thought, "Well, you know, I'll even bring it up, you know, and I'll go see." But I thought, "No." Again, I'm not going to give you that visual. No pictures or anything of it, so don't worry. We are not talking about that kind of freedom this morning. However, we are going to talk about freedom this morning, and I want to share a little bit with you because it's interesting to me how God always reveals things to me by way of things that I'm interested in, through fishing, through you know, mountain biking sometimes, through hiking, being outdoors, all those things. I'm glad you're here, Stephen. I'm going to pick on you in a minute. So what I want to do is kind of set the mood. I'm, however, going to show you a few pictures that are okay to laugh at, that are probably going to embarrass me a little bit, and that's totally fine. The pictures that you are about, thank you, Rochelle. The pictures that you're about to see, the first couple anyway, I weigh about 110. And I was in college, graduated high school from North Cobb in 1990 and weighed about 105. And then, thank you, Erica. I have a fan club in here this morning. Then, went through first little bit of college, and I did not gain that 15 or, you know, that 30 or whatever that people say they gain. I only gained like a few pounds and went up like to 110 pounds. So, anyway, so let's throw the first one up there. Thank you. That would be me. That is the beginning of a trip that I took some other guys on with me that had never been hiking before. Yes, and that is exactly how I felt. It was the beginning of a 45.5-mile hike on the Appalachian Trail. What was scary, and the reason that my pack was as big and as heavy as it was, unfortunately, it was because these guys that were going with me, some of them showed up with like little JanSport backpacks, like book bags, you know, loaded up and that kind of thing. So it was interesting. Hit the next one there. This is me. We had stopped here and for a morning devotion time, and we're just kind of hanging out and that kind of stuff. And the cool thing, and the reason I took this picture, is because you couldn't initially see anything there. And then all of a sudden, the clouds just kind of went down and into the mountains and stuff, and it was just the coolest thing. We just watched it happen, and, you know, again, that's why they call it the Smokies. Next one. Yes, that is me still. In this picture, the cool thing is the next one right here is what I was looking at. The slides that I took these pictures from, unfortunately, were rather worn and everything because they're old, and some of the kids in here are going, "What slides?" That's what we were looking over, and it was just an awesome picture, so I wanted to show you that one too. And then the next one here, these are the guys that I went with. It was a motley crew. The only one that actually had the appropriate pack was really Matt, who's the guy on this side here, and but yet even still had not ever done any backpacking or any stuff. So it was really interesting. But anyway, this next picture here is of a recent trip that I did with a couple of guys that you'll see in a second. But this is on Gregory Bald. It's over 4,000 feet, but that's Cade's Cove in the background. And again, the picture really just doesn't do it any justice. It was awesome. The next thing you're going to see here, you should recognize these two guys. And yes, I am extremely short between the both of them. You got Stephen Tynes over there, and then you got Greg Norris on the other side. But we had a fantastic trip. You know, it's interesting, as I do these things, how a lot of times God will just show me different things. But, you know, I got my boots up here, you know, and I could tell you things about those. There's a lot of history in those. I got my walking sticks, all those things. As I was kind of throwing some things together to show you guys, it was interesting because one of the things that I thought about when I grabbed a water bottle to show you guys was the fact that God said, you know what, just like you need the water when you're on the trip, to keep you vibrant and keep you going and those things. The interesting thing is God just kind of said, but you know what's really cool is that Jesus is water to your soul. He is the one that brings that restoration to your soul. So I just thought that was kind of cool how God just showed me that. But you know, you got other things. So we'll take a little gander here for just a second. Gander, Pastor Rick, and Cindy, I'm sorry. You know, that actually means a look. Anyway, you got to be able to eat. This is a heavy. I couldn't find my little one that kind of collapses down. But you got to be able to eat. You know, that's important. You know, you got to fill yourself up there. Cordage is always a big thing. And then here was something else that I thought was really interesting. There's kind of a twofold kind of thing I can share with you here. You know, when you're hiking, you know, you really there's different ways you can sleep and all those things. But you know, having things in smaller sizes, and there are much smaller ones than even this. But you know, what's interesting is you got to compress everything and you got to get it in there because you got to be able to walk light and, you know, and those kinds of things. But the other thing that God kind of showed me was, you know, sometimes we have sin in our life, and we have things that kind of come along and they're just kind of crunched down and they're packed away, you know, and they're little. And then when all of a sudden those things kind of get woke up, you know, it's interesting what then kind of transpires, because as they get kind of woke up and they kind of come alive in us, you know, the interesting thing that happens is what was small and kind of manageable and we thought really wasn't that big of a deal, all of a sudden just kind of grows, you know? So we got to be real cautious of those kinds of things. So I thought that was interesting too, how God just kind of said, you know, think through this. So anyway, you got to be able to sleep, you know, you got to do all those things. Now, here's the thing. As we go through life, we all carry things. All of us. We all have things that we tote around. We all have things that, you know, we keep. Some things, it's interesting because they're private. And we think, you know what, nobody ever will see those things. And in some instances, that may be the case. But, you know, we all have things that we carry through life. We all have things that we, you know, tote around with us and we walk around with and those kinds of things. But what I want to show you this morning, And I'm going to put this on, and I really want it to be a visual, okay? You may think, well, gosh, Terry, that's a little distracting. You're going to wear that while you're preaching? Yes, I am. Because I really want you to get the visual that we all have, in a sense, these things that we carry. You know, it's a cool thing to me because really and truly, you know, we all do carry things, all those things. But the other thing is that God really, the cool part is that He tells us that to take on His yoke, because it's light. You know? To take that on and to carry, let Him carry our burdens. Let Him carry our stresses. You know? Because He can make our walk easier. So it's really important that we remember that. But at the same time, you know, we always kind of gear up, and I think we sometimes forget these things. You know, we kind of go through this ritual that I'm going through right here before I start walking to kind of tighten things up and make it a little easier to carry. You know, if this thing is not set up right, it's a real pain in the backside to tote around, isn't it, Stephen? It sits wrong. It weighs heavy on us. And the more we walk, the more awkward it is. And then we kind of adjust. And as we adjust, we notice we're kind of walking different. And as we walk different, you know, we maybe start to you know, rub the blister on our foot. And then there's something else that then we have to adjust for. So now we're walking funny and we're, you know, doing all these things. So there's all kinds of things that can happen and take place in our life. So I really want you to take this visual on this morning as I talk to you about the journey that I've been on the past 3 weeks. Pastor Rick came to me and asked me if I would preach, and said that, you know, gave me the date and everything, and it was so cool because all of a sudden, the minute he asked me, God just immediately revealed to me what he wanted me to speak on, which is freedom for the journey. And as I began to start and look and pray over what it was that God wanted me to share, little did I know what God was going to do in me. So I just want to tell you this morning, I'm really setting myself up. I'm going to be very transparent with you this morning in a few minutes. And I just want you to bear with me as I share these things with you. I ask that you do your best not to judge me as I share these things with you. But I really do feel like God wants me to share them. So if we could just pray before I get started. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for each and every person that's here. And God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word, to share, Father, what I know you've given me to share with our church today. And Father, to share what you've done in me. Father, thank you for the journey. Thank you for the journey that you've had me on the past 3 weeks and the things that you've revealed to me. And I ask this morning that even now you would just allow your Holy Spirit to move over your people right now, to speak to their hearts and to reveal to them this morning what they need to see. Father, we love you and we thank you and we give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You will have to forgive me this morning. I thought I had a handle on all of this. So if I get emotional, I just ask that you bear with me for a couple of seconds to get myself together. Where I want to take you, first thing this morning, is to Romans chapter 7 and verse 8. I took a class when I was in college in Romans, and you know, I've been through every chapter of this book for an entire semester, and I've read all of these verses, and I've seen even what I'm about to share with you before, but God never released the understanding of this to me until the other day. But it says right here in Romans chapter 7 and verse 8, it says, "But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead." Now, the thing I really want you to focus on here are those last three words. Sin lies dead. When I read that the other day, it completely overwhelmed me. It completely took over. I sat in my office and I immediately ran to another translation and looked. I looked a few things up on the internet and just trying to see, you know, what exactly those three words meant. Other translations and other authors actually used the word dormant. They made reference, and another author talked about the fact that you know, that it's dead, or again, it's dormant. It's something that's just lying there, that's just rotting inside of us. So, as I saw this, it just, like I said, it was just overwhelming. It just consumed me. I immediately went to Pastor Rick's office and I said, "I've got to share this with you." And next thing I know, I just couldn't even speak. I was just so overwhelmed with emotion and tears and feeling of what God had shown me. I read it to him and I said, "This is just amazing, because what God is showing me in this, what God is saying to me in this is, Terry, what still is there? What sin is still there that you don't even recognize? What are you still carrying in you that you don't even know is sin?" So I began to pray and I began to ask God. I said, "God, please show me. Please show me those things that are in me that I just don't even know. Those things that sometimes I'm functioning in and I'm moving in that I just don't even realize that I'm doing. You know, it immediately took me back over to Colossians chapter 5 or chapter 3. We've just taken the students on Wednesday nights through the book of Colossians, and it reminded me of something even there. And just to throw these things out to you, it tells us there to put off these things. And it says to put off immorality, put off impurity, put off evil desire, put off covetousness, put off anger and wrath and malice and slander. And I just was like, oh my, you know, God, please help me. A little further down, it says, but put on these things. It says, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and forgiveness. You know, there's many other places in the Scripture where we're told to put things on and to remove or to take off other things. There's directives that are given to us in other areas of the Scripture where it tells us that we're supposed to look like Christ, and this is how. The fruits of the Spirit. I went to those and I read and I was like, God, show me where I'm not functioning in these things. I saw that, and then I was reminded of where we're told to walk humbly. And again, just overwhelmed with God, where am I not doing these things? Where is that sin in my life of the lack of humility? Where is that sin in my life of the lack of patience? Where is that sin in my life of whatever you want to reveal to me? In the midst of all of this, it's amazing to me how God just lays things out in our regular daily life, how He reveals things to us about us through things that are happening. I haven't been sleeping lately. I've been struggling with sleep. I've been struggling and the ability to focus. I told my wife Kara, it had just gotten to the point that there were probably 3 out of 5 conversations that I would have with people, I would be looking them in the face, carrying on a conversation with them, and then all of a sudden I would realize I have no clue what they're saying. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to have to either just say, I am really sorry, could you repeat that? Or to be creative and say, oh, wow, you know, that's crazy. Right? And it's hard. So my wife calls our friend, our doctor, and set up an appointment for me. So I go and see Mihaly, and he comes in, and we're sitting there, and we're talking, and Mihaly's Greek, by the way. That's Mihaly. It's actually Michael. We're sitting there, and we're talking, and as we're talking and discussing the lack of sleep and the struggles that I'm having and all these things, we get done, and he says, hey, Terry, he says, can I ask you a question? And it's okay for you to laugh here. I'm really okay with it. I really am okay with it, even more so now. But he said, can I ask you a question? I was like, sure. And he goes, have you ever been tested for ADD? And I went, yeah. He goes, well, hey, before we go any further, can I just this little questionnaire, this little survey with you? He said, I kind of have to before I go any further. And I said, sure. Knowing what the outcome was going to be, you know, it was funny. He's reading off the questions. Do you have issues focusing when conversations with people? Yes. Do you fidget as you have to sit still for long periods of time? Yes. Do you have trouble finishing a task when it gets close? Yes. You know, I'm the poster child for ADD, and I realize it. As we continue this conversation and this questionnaire, we finally get done, and then Mihaly looks at me and he says, "Terry, let me ask you a question." And I was like, "Okay." And you know, before he even said what he said, before he even got to what he was going to ask, I knew what the question was going to be. I knew what the question was going to be. And he continued and he says, "Terry, have you ever thought about trying medication?" And in the time that he is saying this and he is beginning to speak those words, and I know already what he's going to say, there is this inside of me welling up of, "I don't need that. This is the answer I've always given. I don't need it. I can sleep a little more. I can exercise a little more. I can eat a little better. You know, on and on and on. I can adjust. I can cope. Because that's what I've always done." So as all this is being just run through my mind and he's saying all these things to me, all of a sudden, God says to me, "That's pride." And I thought to myself, pride? In me? And what made it worse was I immediately started thinking back. I started saying, "But God, how many people is this affected because of my inability to focus? My inability to be able to carry on conversations with people, that it's affected things that I'm doing, even trying to complete tasks to where it's overworked people that are around me because I can't focus. All because of a simple little bitty white and navy blue pill that, quite frankly, I believe that God has given people, doctors and pharmacists and scientists, the creative ability to come up with these things to help us." So I immediately answered the question, "Okay, I'll try it." The overwhelming part of this, the amazing part at the same time of this, is the fact that I was on it for one day. I slept better that night. And the next day, I called Kara and I said, "It's crazy. I'm actually focused. I have a plan. I'm together." And again, I'm like, "God, please forgive me that I allowed pride to hinder me from working efficiently." Two days later, Kara was at work and I'm with my kids. And we're sitting at Chick-fil-A. And I'll just tell you, I laughed when this came out. I actually chuckled and I actually texted it to Kara. But at the same time, God revealed something else to me. We're sitting at Chick-fil-A, and all of a sudden, my sweet little girl looks at me and she goes, "Dad," she goes, "you're just happy." And then the next words that came from her mouth were like a dagger. Because she looked at me and she said, "Daddy, you've just never been this nice." And God said, that's unkindness. And again, I said, God, if my own children I've been unkind to, then how many other people have I not shown kindness to? How many people have I not been Christ-like to? I had asked the Father to reveal to me, to show me, what still lies dead in me. He gave me a little bit of a break. And he took me to Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And yet again, he relates it back to hiking for me. And he says, Terry, my word is a lamp to your feet. Just like when you're hiking, you've hiked at night and you've had to have your headlamp on and you're walking and that light is showing you the roots and the rocks that you potentially can stumble over or trip over. He said, my word is that to you. It will bring to light those things in you. The unkindness, the pride. Then he said, I'm a light to your path. Again, taking it back to the hiking for me, something that I can relate to and I can understand. He says, Terry, he says, it's like when you go hiking and there's a blaze on the trail. And for those of you that don't hike, you know, especially things like the Appalachian Trail, on the trees as you go along every few miles, or if there's a shift or a direction change, there's a blaze of a certain color that you're supposed to follow. And God said, Terry, that's my word. I'm showing you the direction to go. And you know, there's times, guys, there are times that we're going to stumble. There are times that we're going to go the wrong way. But the beauty is that he didn't say that his light is not continually with us. He said, my word is. It is there to light the way for our feet. It is there. Meaning, when we do go the wrong way or we do stumble, that he will show us. Now, let me stop for a second and clarify this, because I think it's huge. So many times, and possibly even this morning, as some of you are sitting out there, and I'll be honest, I've done it a couple of times myself this week. But God revealed something else to me. But here's the thing. We hear messages like this. We hear this word. And when we hear this word, we'll start thinking, well, you can't put that on me. That's condemnation. You can't condemn me. And it's not. In the midst of all of this, yes, it's been overwhelming. But never once have I felt condemned because of the pride that God showed me. Never once did I feel condemned for the kindness or the unkindness that God revealed in me. Because I did go back to, because God revealed it to me even the more, to say, Terry, there is therefore now no condemnation. And the beauty of that is the fact that Paul, when he's saying this in Romans, he's saying it was because of the law. It was because of the instruction of God, the Almighty Maker of heaven and of earth. and the instruction and the wisdom that He gave. It was because of the law. It revealed in my heart that there was covetousness. It was because of the verses that God led me to that He showed me that there was pride in me. It was because of the verses that I read and the things that He showed me that I realized that there was unkindness in me. And it wasn't condemning. It was freeing to be able to say, God, forgive me of those things. Help me to realize when I'm walking in that. Help me to realize when I'm about to stumble over that. Again, 1 Corinthians 13. I mean, I've used this even as recent as a wedding that I just did. How many times have I even used this? Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not, I mean, we go on and we realize all of the things that it's telling us in there. And then the very end, it comes down and it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And I begin to read it and say, God, where am I not enduring all things? God, show me where I'm not patient. Show me where I'm not kind. When I've read this in weddings, I've said, and the most recent was Andy Webb, who used to attend here. You know, Andy, I read it and I said, Andy is patient. Brian is kind. But God showed me. How about asking me, Terry? Let me show you where you're not functioning in those things. Because guess what? That's when it's just sin, because it's just lying there when we're being impatient and we're just carrying it. Because when we're impatient, we get anxious and we take it out on other people. So God revealed that to me, and again, I was like, God, show me more. It then took me back to something that I shared with you 2 years ago. I try every year to take a trip by myself for about 3 days where I go on a little sabbatical, refreshing, renewal kind of thing, and I'll go hiking or mountain biking or fishing or, you know, just go camping or something, and I put the cell phone away, you know, I put the iPod away. In this particular trip, I said, God, show me something about me that I don't know yet. Show me something that you haven't shown me or told me before. And it was interesting because I prayed that before I left, a few days before, and then I go on this trip and I struggled. I put my tent up and all this stuff and I start doing all these things, and next thing I know, I get in the tent. I'm like, what in the world? I was late setting everything up. It was already dark. I mean, it was just crazy. I finally get in the tent, and I'm laying there. And I'm just going, where are all these bugs coming from? The mosquitoes were rampant inside the tent. I'm like, what is the deal? And then I realized I got a hole in my tent. And not just a hole. I'm talking a hole. I'm thinking, how did I even miss this when I put it together? Thing after thing began to happen, and I was just getting frustrated, and I realized Satan was trying to distract me. The enemy was going, you're not going to hear what God has to tell you. And then God shows me, God says to me, Terry, you have not yet begun to understand the capacity to which you can love. And I was like, what? What does that mean? And as I've continued to pray, God, reveal that to me. Show me what that means. Help me to understand that. He brought it back to me. We've been going through Colossians. We just actually finished it up with the students. And God brought me back to this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." And I read that after he took me back to that. And then I realized, when I'm not functioning in kindness, I can't love as well as he wants me to love. When I'm not functioning, or when I'm functioning, sorry, in pride, I can't love how he wants me to love. So to ask him, "God, reveal these things to me. Help me to see these things that I'm carrying, that I'm sinning when I'm not functioning how you want me to function, in kindness and in impatience, and, you know, and when I'm not slow to anger." I mean, on and on and on. All these things. As God shows me these things, I'm like, "God, please help me with this. Reveal this to me. I want it gone." So as I see this and everything, it's, you know, it's just been one thing after another. I turn out of here the other day, and I'm driving down Wade Green. I get maybe a quarter of a mile from here down Wade Green, and this guy cuts me off in this car. And all this, I just went, "What are you?" And I stopped. And I went, "God, that's unkindness." And I realized all of a sudden, "God, you've revealed that in me. And now you've just shown me again." But the cool thing is now I'm recognizing it. But not only that, there was no condemnation. I want you to hear that. There was no condemnation. God wasn't like, "Bam!" It was just, "That's unkindness." It was gentle and kind and loving. I want to pray. Because honestly, I have one last verse for you. And I want to read this to you, but I want to pray first. And the reason that I want to pray is because I honestly want you this morning to be willing, right now as I pray, to say, "God, reveal to me the things that I'm still carrying. Reveal to me those things that are weighing me down. Reveal to me, God, those things that are lying dead and dormant, that are rotting away in me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for this time. And Father, I thank you for the journey over the past 3 weeks. I thank you for the things that you're continuing to show me, and how you're showing me to read the Scripture differently. And God, how you're revealing these things to me in a way that it's only binding things together stronger in love, like it says in Colossians. Father, from this moment, as we finish up here and I read this last verse, Father, I pray that as your Spirit moves, that your people will ask that question, "God, reveal in me what sin still lies dead." God, the moment I heard those three words, it clicked in me. And God, I believe that you can do the same to reveal it to them. So, Father, right now I ask that you do that. As I read this last verse, I want to read it to you as a decree. You can put your Bibles away because I really want you to be able to focus. It's going to be on the screen. But in Philippians chapter 3, I know you've heard this verse. It says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. I press on, guys, to become more like Christ, to love more like Christ, to allow Him in to remove things that are dead and dormant from my pack. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." This morning, I told you that Christ told us that His yoke was easy and that we should take it on. This morning, I have made this my decree, that I am going to allow God to continue to make me more like Him, that I am going to allow Him to reveal things in me that I'm carrying that are burdensome and heavy. And this morning, as I make this my decree, this is a physical sign that I'm laying it down. Because I want to walk free in Him. I want to walk in victory in Him. So that He can use me in the best way possible to strip me of those things that don't look like Him. This morning, I challenge you to ask God to show you so you can walk in freedom and you can walk unhindered. If you're here this morning and you're saying, "Terry, I don't even know Jesus. I don't even have that relationship with Him, but I am heavy. And I am burdened." I want to challenge you this morning to ask God to forgive you of your sins. And I want to challenge you to accept Jesus into your life for the work that He did for you in dying on the cross. So that you can be free. And for those of you that attend Wildwood, that you're here, those of you that are believers in Christ, please take a step this morning, today, to allow Christ to show you and reveal things in you that are weighing you down, and be willing to lay them on the altar. I'll be here. Pastor Rick is here. There's others that are here that would love an opportunity to pray with you, to accept Christ. For those of you that want to pray and ask God to release you of those things that are hindering you and that are weighing you down, but here's the thing. You've got to be willing to take it off, to take it out, and to lay it down.